Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is the latest edition of the On the 50-Yard Line podcast, where we take a look at what's going on in the football, high school football, in the greater Savannah area, from taking a look back at last week's action and a look forward to what's happening this week. So last week, we had a Thursday night game where Benedictine met up with Burke County. Burke County was undefeated. They came in ranked number 5. Among Class 4A teams in the state by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Well, BC was at 3-2, was ranked number 6. But those two losses that BC had, if you just look at their record and don't really know about how rugged that non-region schedule was, you wouldn't know. You know, BC lost to Columbus of Miami, which is 7-0, a perennial power down in Florida. I think they're in the highest classification down there. They're undefeated. And then the other loss was to Ware County, 14-10 on the road down in the swamp, they call it. And they lost a close one there in a game that was just raining from start to finish. So those two losses kind of toughened up Benedictine, and they showed what kind of team they were with in a 28-3 win over Burke County. So that was an impressive victory. Luke Cromanhawk, he had James Franklin of Penn State there on the sideline watching the game, even though Luke has already committed to Florida State and has been real positive about that commitment, that he's not going anywhere else. But those Power 5 coaches are going to come down and try to get in there to get in with somebody of Luke's talent. He showed it off, completing 15 of 20 passes for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he also ran for 48 yards and a couple of short touchdowns. So that offense is really looking good. Junior Nasir Samuel came on strong in the second half. He rushed for 86 yards on 11 carries to help put that game away for the Cadets. LaDon Bryant had 4 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown, and Thomas Blackshear, the standout sophomore, also had another touchdown catch. That BC defense has been strong from the beginning of the season, you know, without question. They're allowing under 11 points a game. Linebacker Wilkes Albert had 12 tackles against Burke County, and Jonathan Hardy, the transfer from St. John Bosco in Southern California, he had 10 tackles. Elijah Alexander, the defensive end, talented defensive end, and Herbert Scroggins, the third, had 8 tackles each. And Jeremiah Thomas and Cole Simeon did a great job up front for Benedictine, really controlling that line of scrimmage in that game. BC will be back in action for their homecoming against Southeast Bullock. That's Friday night at 7:30 at Memorial Stadium. And I think BC will dominate in that one. We also had an interesting game on Friday night, the first ever meeting between Johnson and Savannah Christian. The schools have been, you know, playing ball for since back in the 50s, but they've never met. And so Johnson played a great game. Savannah Christian scored on their first two possessions, and it looked like it might be a runaway, but Johnson shut them down after that. The final score was 14-6, with Savannah Christian winning the game. Savannah Christian coach Baker Woodward gave credit to Kenderick Bonner for the job he's doing over at Johnson. And the Adam Smashers have 20 seniors on that squad. So it's a veteran squad, and that defense is playing real well. Makari Stafford did a great job in that game. Johnson had four sacks on the night. Ronald Smith had a pair of sacks, and he knocked a ball loose that was recovered by Jamari Taylor for a fumble. Savannah Christian's defense was just as stout. Elijah Griffin, who took a trip to recruiting trip to Georgia the next day, was all over the field. He had three sacks, three tackles for losses, and I believe seven total tackles in the game. Just an animal out there. Today is his birthday, actually. He turned 16. The kid's 6'5", 285 pounds, just turning 16, and he's got offers. He's the number one rated sophomore recruit in the country among all positions. So he took that trip to Georgia on Saturday and saw him win big against Missouri. He's just unstoppable up there up front. And so Savannah Christian was able to pull it out. They didn't have their best offense that night, but you really got to credit that Johnson defense. And Johnson will be back with another tough game as they got to go up against Calvary Day on Friday night at Calvary. Now, everyone knows about Calvary. They're 5-0. They're ranked number 3 in the state among Class 3A teams by the AJC. So here comes Johnson. They're 4-2, and they just played that great game against Savannah Christian. Calvary beat Savannah Christian 34-28. Johnson lost to him 14-6. So we'll see how this matches up. You know, Johnson's got the Malon Petty and Jaden Boone, a star on both sides of the line. They're hoping to get their offense going. Amarian Scott was held to 15 yards rushing, and the team only rushed for 24 yards against that Savannah Christian defense. Samari Dowdy was hurt in the first quarter and didn't come back. He's another outstanding running back for Johnson. But they're going to face, you know, a Calvary defense that has a lot of talent of its own, you know, with Troy Ford, the UCF commit at linebacker, and Terry Simmons, who's committed to Duke up front. Camarion Lanigan is also a great linebacker there, along with the A.J. Butts, who doubles as a main running back for Calvary now. Jake Merklinger has thrown for 619 yards and 12 touchdowns with just one interception. He's a four-star quarterback, one of the best in Georgia, one of the best in the nation, actually. And his numbers will be a lot higher. They've had one game canceled by weather and another game that was shortened by a storm. And he's also played only the first half of a couple blowouts. So those numbers are half of what he could have if he played full games. He's got another four-star commit, but a four-star prospect in Michael Smith at tight end. And Dupa Coleman, the sophomore, has emerged as one of the top receivers in the Southeast. Caden Arnold is also a good receiver. Those three have combined for over 500 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns. So we're going to see how it all pans out Friday night. Johnson's hoping that some Dowdy will be back from that knee injury. We'll see what happens. That game's set for 7:30 Friday night at Calvary, Region 3-3A matchup. We got New Hampstead at Wayne County Friday night. New Hampstead was coming off a two-week layoff, and they beat Southeast Bullock last week 34-22. Paulie Seeley has been really efficient at quarterback for New Hampstead. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards with 18 touchdown passes on the season. And Caleb Smith has come on strong to give him some versatility in that offense, some balance there. He has close to 600 yards on the season, or over 600 yards on the season. And Elijah Lacey, they have a great defensive linebacker, defensive end in Elijah Lacey. He recovered a snap for for a score last week against Southeast Bullock. He's committed to Georgia Southern. Cameron Mays is also a standout defender, leading that Phoenix squad in tackles. They're going down to play at Wayne County, 5-1, 1-0 in region play. They're ranked number 9 among Class 4A teams by the AJC. They have a great run game led by Matthew Fuller. He's rushed for 761 yards and 12 touchdowns, the junior. He's had two 200-yard games on the season and wins over Jenkins and Statesboro. So this is a big one for New Hampstead. They're vying for playoff position, and they need a win like this. It would really be a signature win for them to go down to Wayne County and take one away from the Yellow Jackets. We'll see what happens down there. Then we got Effingham County hosting Evans Friday night. Effingham won its fifth straight game after opening the season with two losses. They're 5-2 and 3-0 in Region 2-6A play. Keon Wallace, the senior, he's a three-star prospect. He's got a bunch of offers, including SEC offers, and Texas A&M was one of the first teams to offer. But he had 6 touchdown receptions on the year, and he ran back a punt for a score last week. In a win over Grovetown. Junior Nate Hayes went over 1,000 passing yards on the season in that win, and he's also the second leading rusher behind Jaden Evans, who had his second 100-yard performance of the year in the win against Grovetown. Luke Roberts leads that Rebel defense with 53 tackles, and that defense has Ashley Thompson and Timmy Brown in the defensive backfield, one of the best in the area. Both those kids have offers, multiple offers, including Air Force. Both of them have offers from Air Force in Colorado. So we'll see how that one goes. Looks like Evans is 3-3 and 1-1. They just had a close loss, 21-20 last week to Lakeside. So Effingham County's looking to make it 6 in a row here Friday night. So that should be a good one to watch out for. We also got some other games in town. Appling County will be at Windsor Forest in a game at Islands. And Greenbrier will be at Jenkins at Savannah High. That's an important Region 1-5A matchup for Jenkins, which needs a win to set themselves up for the playoffs. We also have Northside Christian at Bethesda, and that's about it for local games. Lakeside Evans at Bradwell Institute, or my bad, Ware County at Bradwell Institute. So Bradwell will be taking on the number one team in 5A in that one. Bradwell looking for his first win of the season. So that's where we're at this week. We'll see how it all plays out Friday night, and come back to talk to you next week in the 10th week of the season.
just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.